chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We'll begin our reading in verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate Him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth Him, He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. I want to preach this morning a message entitled The Blessings of Obedience. Now, to obey simply means to carry out instructions, to be guided or controlled, to follow directions. And God is stating some very simple principles in the book of Deuteronomy regarding the responsibility of His people to obey Him, to obey His word, to hearken, listen to His judgments, to follow His statutes, to obey His instructions. It's not difficult at all to understand the thrust of our passage of Scripture. And what's interesting is we're told that in another portion of Scripture that obedience to God is better and more important than sacrifices. Obedience comes from your heart. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to spend most of our time in Deuteronomy, but I want you to look at the principle here. 1 Samuel 15. Now remember, if to get some context, Saul disobeyed God. God told him to do certain things in a precise way, and Saul decided to do things an entirely different way because he thought he knew better than the Lord. It says in verse 22, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Saul took it upon himself to make sacrifices that God did not order and that he was not in a position to offer. He was not of the priestly line. He was not a Levite. He was not responsible to do this. He took it upon himself. He disobeyed God. And notice what he told him in verse 23. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now Saul had to learn the hard way, a very hard way, that when you don't obey, there are consequences. There are repercussions. And certainly, this is something we got to teach our children. You know, every one of us have a sinful nature. We're prone to sin. We need correction from the Word of God. We need instruction from the Word of God. And certainly our children need that. Otherwise, they'll grow up and not have respect for authority in general, but most especially the authority of God's Word. Now, if you read the book of Deuteronomy carefully, you'll find that God, through Moses, is stressing the importance of obedience to His commands. Now, what's fascinating about this is up to this point in Israel's history, in spite of the fact that they had just seen God miraculously deliver them 40 years before, miraculously delivered from the tyranny of Pharaoh, the bondage of Egypt. They crossed over the Red Sea dry shod. They were commanded to go in to the promised land. God said, I'll take care of you. They didn't obey. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. You study their history, you'll find that they had been characterized by stiff-necked rebellion against God. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They were denied entrance into the presence, into the promised land, the place of victory. And God's telling them, in the book of Deuteronomy, it doesn't have to be that way. They don't have to live under the burden and curse that disobedience causes. They can live in the blessings of obedience. Unfortunately, Israel did not heed the warnings. They did not embrace the blessings set forth in Deuteronomy. And after entering into the land of Canaan, you know one of the first things they did? They entered into covenant with the Gibeonites, who deceived the rulers of the people into thinking that they were so poor and decrepit that they needed help. And the Israel capitulated. They compromised. And from the very beginning, when they went into the promised land, they entered into an unholy covenant with the inhabitants of the land, in spite of the fact God told them, don't make covenants with the Canaanites, with these heathen. They'll cause you to go after false gods. But they disobeyed. What a simple and profound lesson that's applicable in every age. Obey God out of a heart of love and devotion, and you will be blessed. Disobey God, and you'll be defeated. You'll be discouraged. If you're saved by the grace of God, you will be chastened until you get right. Now, I think that we have to establish, how does somebody come to this point of obedience? Why should we obey God? What's the basis of our obedience to God? Well, I think verse 9 spells it out clearly. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. God is to be our final authority. His Word should be our law, so to speak. Look over in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Pretty simple. The basis of all obedience is this simple idea. God is our authority. You say, well, what if I don't believe in God? And believe me, there are a lot of people who think that atheism is valid. The problem is they really don't believe it in their heart. Otherwise, when they lie or steal or commit adultery or blaspheme, they wouldn't feel bad about it. But people intrinsically know, due to their conscience, that that's wrong and that's sin, because they are ultimately accountable to God. So I don't believe anybody ultimately is a true atheist. But everybody has some kind of authority. I believe that the Bible tells us God is the final authority. He is the ultimate lawgiver. He is the one that we are to submit to and obey. Well, there's another reason if you're a child of God. God's covenant love for us and His redeeming power is the basis of our obedience and love to Him. Look what it says in verse 6. He's talking to the children of Israel, and He's telling them, these are some of the reasons why you ought to obey what I command. He says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. And because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. This is the basis for every child of God to obey Him. He's loved us with an everlasting love. He chose us before the world began. He sent His Son to redeem us by His blood. He sent His Spirit to regenerate and give us life and to indwell us. God has orchestrated everything to bring about our salvation. And on account of that, when you think what you've been saved from, now He's telling the Israelites, remember, you were in bondage. You were slaves in Egypt. You had no rights. You had no freedom. You had no liberty. You had no communion. But I redeemed you because I loved you before the world began. I determined to save you, and I brought you out with a strong hand. I redeemed you with the blood of the Passover lamb. I saved you from the destruction of Pharaoh and Egypt. I delivered you in the Red Sea crossing. I'm your God. Now, as my people, love me and obey me. Now, you would think that the Israelites, after just thinking about this, He's done all this for us. He brought us out of this horrible slavery, out of the tyranny of Pharaoh. And now we're free. Well, as a child of God, that ought to be the way you live every day. I know the rock out of which I've been hewn. I know the miry pit that He brought me out of. I know what my life was before I was saved. I know where I would be without the Lord. I'd be in hell. So every day that I'm at liberty in Jesus Christ ought to be one where I express, I display, I prove my love for Him by simply obeying His Word. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now here's another thing a lot of people I don't think ever really consider. Do you think that the commands of God, His laws and statutes, His commandments, do you think He issues those to harm you? Or to put an unnecessary burden on you? Do you think God does this just to aggravate you? Look at verse 24 of chapter 6. It says, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God. Notice what it says. For our good, always. That He might preserve us alive as it is this day, at this day. God gives us these commands for our good. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything in between. He knows what will harm us and hurt us. And He says, don't do that. Do this. It's for our good. Because He loves us. And we are to obey God because we love Him. This isn't the basis of our obedience. Let's get right down. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Has He transformed? Has He given you a new heart? Do you love Him? Do you want to please Him? Do you want to honor Him and glorify Him? If you are saved, then it'll come out in the way you live. Because you'll want to do what pleases God. And I'm going to tell you something. There are things that are difficult to do, that are hard on you in order to obey and please God. Listen, keeping God's commands and doing what's right will ultimately, they'll cost you a lot. But it's worth it. It cost Jesus Christ His life to fulfill the Father's will in order to redeem us. And we are called to follow Him, to walk even as He walked, to walk in His steps of obedience and humility and submission and resignation to the Father's will. If it cost Him something, obeying the commands of God will cost you something. You study the history of the early churches, and when they obeyed God, and they believed the truth, and they were baptized into the Lord's churches, they were often the subjects of persecution. It cost them something to obey. Look at Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. He says, "Hear, O Israel." Well, let's read verse 3. "Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's not just a New Testament proclamation by Jesus Christ. He was quoting Deuteronomy 6 when he highlighted the first and greatest commandment. Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. The meaning, his word, his commandments ought to be inside of you. You ought to love him. You ought to have this desire to obey. And he says in verse 7, parents, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. That means not just Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night when you bring your children to church. It doesn't just mean the Sunday school hour. He's talking about this is an everyday dedication and consecration. That this obedience covers every aspect of our lives. He says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Throughout the day, wherever you go, make application of God's commandments in your life and allow your children to see that you mean business with God. You're talking about the Lord. You're talking about His Word. You're telling them why we should do this and why we shouldn't do that. Because you love Him. And you want to honor Him. And you want to please Him. Now, how is obedience like this cultivated? How do you get to the point where you say to yourself, I want to obey God. I am ready, willing, and able to do whatever it takes. I surrender myself, even today, to obey God unreservedly. Well, that's quite a commitment. But he gives you a formula, if you will, on how to cultivate that kind of commitment. In verse 12, wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments. So how is obedience cultivated? Well, he says you have to hearken. Obedience begins by listening. Pretty simple, isn't it? Listening to whoever is in charge, whoever is in authority. No matter where you go, there must be an authority figure that you must obey. And ultimately, God is who we are accountable to listen to. So how do you listen to God? Well, He doesn't speak audibly. I've never heard the voice of God. But you listen, you hearken through His Word. You hearken to God. You listen as a minister preaches the Word of God and expounds it for your edification and explains it. You listen to that and then you apply it in your homes. How do your children learn obedience? It starts off with you've got to teach them to listen in order to obey. Now, the Bible says that let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So it comes down to this. Are your ears open? Is your heart open? Are your eyes open? Are you really listening to God through His Word? The answer is yes if you're studying your Bible. The answer is yes if you're listening to and hearkening unto preaching. But if your heart and your mind is not into the Word of God, you're not listening to God. When you don't read the Word, when you forsake the assembly and you don't hear the Word preached, I'm going to tell you, I know this. You can mark it down. If you're not listening to God, if you're not hearkening to God and His commandments, you are listening to somebody else. And it may be you, it may be the world, it may be Satan. But if you're not listening to God, you're listening to somebody else. And that will bring trouble and sorrow and heartache and disappointment to your life. I can guarantee it. Because over and over and over again in Scripture, you have examples. Starts out with listening. And there is probably not a more important skill than that of listening. It is the first step to obedience. Now here's the key. You have to learn to listen to the right things if you're going to be obedient to God. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 5. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as He promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. He says, carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Who are you listening to? Who are you following? Then secondly, back to Deuteronomy 7 and verse 12, wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to do these judgments, and keep. All right, here's the second thing. It's not enough to merely hear or read what God says. You have to internalize that command in your heart and desire to keep it. A couple of examples, and this is all through the book of Proverbs, but turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Now, if you keep something, you know what a keepsake is? It's something that's so valuable to you that you cherish it. You guard it. You keep it. And that's the way we ought to be with God's Word. We ought to hearken to it, and we need to value it and keep it. Here's what he says in Proverbs 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Receive his words. Look at chapter 4 and verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. So, hearken, listen, keep, receive them, and cherish them. And then he says back in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 12, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them. All right, this is the fruit of listening, cherishing, keeping. Now, you actually put it into practice. You are so convinced that God is right, that His Word is true. You've heard what He says in His Word. You've received it, internalized it. Now, you do it. You live it out. You express by obedience. You apply His commands and actually carry out what you've heard and what you've internalized. And again, you do it because you've been born of God. And those commandments, they won't be burdensome to you. See, whether it's in Deuteronomy or 1 John chapter 5, the principle is the same. You love the Lord, you desire to keep His commands. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Not burdensome. Not hard for us to take. But rather, we see them as beneficial and wonderful and good and holy, because God has set us apart. So how do you cultivate this kind of obedience? Listen, internalize, and practice. That's what obedience is all about. Now, there are a lot of realms of obedience. And I really, you want the biggest picture of all? You are to obey God in every aspect of your life. Everything you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, if whatsoever therefore you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. So this obedience would cover every aspect of your life. Now, some of you aren't saved. You've never been brought to an end of yourself. The Bible says that you are commanded to repent. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. You have a command to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scripture. If you don't obey the gospel, and God does have to give you that gift of repentance and faith and obedience, but the Bible says that if you don't obey the gospel in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, that you will be judged for all eternity. Those that do not obey God's way of salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son as the only way, faith in Him. Every aspect of your life should be governed by obedience to God in your home. God has given an order. It's set forth in 1 Corinthians 11, where the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. That has nothing to do with, in our lives, with superiority or inferiority. It has to do with God's way for the home. There has to be an authority. God is the ultimate authority. And husbands, you're to love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And wives, you are to submit yourself unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. And then that authority even goes a step further. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it's the first commandment with promise. The only way you can have a successful home life is if you follow God's order, God's instruction. You see, in our nation, this has been completely cast off. It is the idea of a home ordered by God, where a husband and a father leads his wife and children in the ways of God, and they follow him and serve the Lord together. That's unheard of in America. And that's the reason why we're in the mess we're in. It has nothing to do with a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or anything else. It has to do with God not having any place in the home. People have rejected it. It's destroying people. It's destroying kids who have absolutely no frame of reference when it comes to God, the moral law, the truth of Scripture, what's right and wrong. And they have no example. And we're reaping the fruit, the unholy fruit of disobedience to God's Word. So it has to be prevalent. It has to work in our home, in the workplace. Listen, if you don't teach your children the principle of authority and obedience, when they get in the real world, they are not going to make it. Man, I learned, I started working for other people when I was 12 years old. And I learned really quick, if somebody wanted their grass mowed a certain way, I couldn't say, you know, that lady, she don't know what she's talking about. I'm going to mow the grass this way. Yeah, what happened in that? You don't get paid. You don't learn to obey, to submit to authority. And again, it starts in the home. It's got to go into the workplace. And the principles laid out in Colossians 3, it says, when you serve and when you obey, you're to do it with an eye to God. Not to your employer, but to God. This principle of obedience covers everything in society, in the workplace, in the Lord's church. There is no hierarchy here. Every member has the same, we're on the same ground. Faith in Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb. God has given you a pastor, though, an elder, however you want to look at it. And the Bible says to obey them which have the rule over you because they care for your souls. If your pastor loves you, he's trying to teach you what's right. He's not doing it to put unnecessary burdens on you or to make you feel bad all the time. It's because I want to prepare you for the judgment seat of Christ. And I know what disobedience can do. It can ruin your life. You start disobeying God, you go down that road, you can ruin your family. You can be chastened. I don't have time to go into all the blessings of obedience and the results of obedience. You probably say, I wish you would have spent more time on that. But if you'll read the rest of Deuteronomy 7, you'll find that God will just overwhelm you with His love when you obey Him. When you love Him and keep His commandments and you delight in what pleases Him, God's going to bless your life. Now, it doesn't mean you're never going to have any more troubles. But you'll have the presence and the power of God in your life to deal with every situation. God will bless your family. He will give you a measure of physical health. He'll help you to overcome your fears, your temptations, your enemies. He'll enable you to separate from idols and from things that are disruptive. Look at what he says in the very last verse of chapter 7, verse 25. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. You know what? He says, verse 26, neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like unto it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. When you obey God, He'll give you discernment about what can bring a curse into your life. Obedience and dependence upon God can conquer every foe you have. But it comes really right down to this. Are you doing what God says? He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you studying the word? Jesus said to pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Are you praying? Are you obeying God? Paul wrote, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. Are you being faithful to the house of God, to hear the word of God from the man of God? See, these are very simple, elementary things. Are you teaching your children? Train up a child in the way he should go. It's a command of God to train them. Preach the gospel to every creature. Are you being a witness? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, but be separate. Come out from among them, saith the Lord, and I'll be a father unto you. Are you living a life that is distinctly different and contrary to the ways of the world? These are all commandments that are clearly set forth in God's Word. If we expect, people are praying for revival, it's not going to come among God's people until you're ready to hearken, to keep, and to do. Let's all stand.
Page number 175. First and last verse of 175.